Hi, I'm Dave Crane.
Hi, and I'm Bob Yurchuk. Welcome to Turbocharge, your brand TV.
Dave Crane, welcome back to Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Today we're talking to Bob Yurchuk, a very good friend of mine for many, many years. I even must say that about everybody, but in this case it's very true. Bob is ranked number 4 in the world as far as sales gurus goes. He's an expert in every single element of creating wealth for you, for your company, and for the future. In terms of how this works, you can read his books, you can read Up Your Bottom Line and Discipline for Life, all about the mindset. But the bottom line is making sales. Doesn't matter how good you are in business, you can spend far too much time working in the business without having a helicopter view on where it's going. If you're not closing, you're not making. I've got a ton of questions to share with Bob, and I asked them all on your behalf. So sit back, get a coffee, and relax. Bob Yurchuk now on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
Bob, I've known you for many years. You're one of my very good friends, and also I'm always impressed by the way that you come up with such innovative ways of delivering real content, but also getting results. Now, sales is something that everybody does, but most people have no idea that they're doing it.
Well, first of all, let's understand why they don't want to do it. It's the reputation or the perception people have as salespeople. I mean, you know, pretend you're a buyer, Dave. Play the game Password. You're a buyer, I say salesperson. What thoughts come to mind?
Run away, he's gonna try and sell me something.
Exactly, so you know, we resist, we put up barriers to salespeople. My objective is to change that reputation. You see, I believe sales is by far the most important profession of all professions. You know why? Without sales, no transaction. Without no transactions, no revenue. No revenue, organizations would not exist, nobody would have a job. The world revolves around sales. The problem is salespeople have to change the way they do things. We could become extinct. This profession's ready to die. We've got the internet. We don't need salespeople to waste our time anymore. We can buy whatever we want online. So now salespeople have to start thinking how they can bring more value to the buyers. And it's that very point that makes the difference. By bringing more value, we want salespeople to bring more value to buyers such that buyers would be willing to pay them to sit in front of them. When we talk about salesperson, I want to clarify something. I don't teach people how to sell. I teach the opposite of selling. What's the opposite of selling?
Creating a relationship, I guess.
Okay, buying.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer to be sold or do you prefer to buy?
I prefer to buy because I chose it.
Exactly. So what I do is I teach people how to attract, engage, and empower buyers to buy from you.
So in terms of somebody who's got a product and they want to sell it to somebody, a stranger, they've got a certain amount of time to get that message across, otherwise their attention span disappears, what's the strategy if you get them that right?
Okay, well, what you said right there is they've got a product. The first thing we have to understand is it's not about the product. It's not about the company. It's not about the brand so much. It's about
the customer,
the buyer. Because you see, if we don't have a buyer, we've got nothing. So what we created is a buyer focus system. Buyer focus means it's all about the buyer. Your first step is to get the buyer to open up, to build that trust. People like to buy from people that remind them of themselves, people that they like, people that they trust. So salespeople need to first work on the buyer, get them open up. The more they talk, the more we listen, the more we learn, the more they like us, the more they trust us. And in the process, we then qualify them and determine whether they're qualified to do business with us or not. And if they're qualified, great, we proceed and we give them a prescription. We take our product in a way that satisfies their needs, and we allow them to buy it. We empower them to buy it.
So in terms of what you're talking about, it's really more about your ability to engage and hold a conversation while fact-finding than actually doing anything to do with your products and anything to do with what the client wants to buy.
You got it. So what we have is a step-by-step approach that we take people through to do that.
In terms of how you guarantee that's going to happen, though, you can end up easily going off into a tangent and chatting forever and not making a sale. So you've got to stay focused on what it is the objective.
Yeah. Well, I guess if I was to give you an example, Dave, here's the way it would work. Step one is building a relationship. We call it rapport. So in rapport, what we do is we get people to ask open-ended question, who, what, where, when, why. And what do people like to talk about the most?
Themselves.
So we give them an opportunity to talk about themselves. And we bring in some good female listening skills. You know, like, oh, really? Tell me more. And you know what I mean? Like, sure, we're interested. And we engage them. Well, when we know we've got rapport when the buyer doesn't stop talking. And they're opening up freely. And then what we do is we get into step two. And we call this setting the parameters. And the parameters is very, very simple. And just play with me for a minute. So we talked a lot. We've got rapport. Oh, excuse me, Dave. By the way, how much time do you set aside for our meeting today?
10 minutes.
What is it you'd like to accomplish in the next 10 minutes?
I'd like to make sure I know whether I'm going to buy from you or not. Or
okay, great.
It's a waste of time.
And I'd like to know a little bit about you and your organization. Is it okay if we ask each other some questions?
Sure, go ahead.
And do you mind if I take some notes?
That'd be good, okay.
And one other thing, Dave. I can't solve the world's problems, and I may not be able to help you. If I can't help you, are you okay if I be honest with you and just say no, I can't help you?
I'd prefer if you did.
Okay, good. And if I can, I'll tell you yes. Can we just work on, be honest with each other and work on yes, no answers?
Yeah.
Because you know why? Sometimes people say think it over, and think it over really means no. And it ends up wasting your time. The last thing I want to do today is waste your time.
Excellent.
Did you want to ask the first question?
Well, I'll go ahead with that because it works. So what you're doing effectively is you're setting the parameters of what that whole transaction is going to be about.
You got it. Now, you see, if you don't set the parameters, you end up with a long sales cycle because you end up dealing with a lot of wishy-washy words. Here, we just agreed. You gave me permission to ask questions. Well, let's go from the beginning. Time is important. I know I got 10 minutes. Well, there's only three outcomes I can get from a sales call. I can get a sale. Yes. I can get a no. You're not qualified. And no is okay. It's a positive outcome because if you're not qualified, why waste your time? The other one is a clear future. I don't get a maybe. A clear future is I know we're going to get together. So in 10 minutes, I may not have enough time, so I need to spend the next 10 minutes to establish a clear future with you. You don't get enough interest to go next. Now, so time. Then whose objective is more important, mine or the buyer's? Me, the salesperson, or you, the buyer?
Ultimately, the buyer's.
So I asked you, what is it you'd like to accomplish? And I got your objective out, then I added mine.
Yeah.
Then I said, it's okay if we ask each other questions. Permission to ask questions, permission to take notes. The reason you do that is if you don't get permission, it could become harsh. And people accept it, they'll always say yes. Only once was I told not to take notes, it was confidential. But people love it because when you take notes, it makes people feel important. It shows you're listening and that you care. Because nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Well, that's very true as well.
So we have to change the habits of showing we care, not showing what we know. And then, of course, I made you feel comfortable with no. The minute that happened, I could see in your face, the barriers came down. You felt at ease. Hey, I'm not going to be pressured here. I'm not going to get sold something I don't like. And that's what has to happen. The barriers have to go down. Then, of course, from there, we get into qualifying questions. What are your buying motivators? By asking questions, what are your pains? What's your financial ability? Have you got a budget set aside? And then decision. When do you make a decision? Who besides yourself? Then I summarize it. So if I got it right, Dave, this, and this, remember earlier I said, I'd be honest with you, no, I can't help it. Based on the issues you've identified and the budget, I'm afraid I can't help you. However, I do know someone who may. Would you like me to introduce you to him? In other words, I want to maintain a relationship with you. You may not be qualified today, but maybe tomorrow you will be. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Otherwise, that's it. It's over. I'll be aboard. Another way is, Dave, remember I said I'd tell you? Yes, I can. I'm ready to give you a solution to the problems you identified within your budget and your time frame. Are you still okay with giving me a yes or no answer after my presentation?
Absolutely.
Why would I want to give a presentation without a commitment from the client up front of what's going to happen next?
Exactly, because so many times you end up having a presentation and they say, I'll go and ask somebody, and
you
then
got
they've
it.
Got to give a lousy presentation
you
version of yours, and it'll never happen.
But you got to understand, it's not a presentation, it's a prescription. You see the difference between a presentation and a prescription? A presentation is all-inclusive. Mm-hmm. A prescription is specific to the needs, the solution that satisfies your needs. We have a rule, sell today, educate tomorrow. One of the biggest problems salespeople have is they tell everything up front and they leave nothing for the back end. By giving a prescription, I solve your problems with that. I sell today, get your order. Tomorrow, I educate you and I tell you about all the other features and benefits.
Oh, yeah.
That becomes value added. And when you give value added, you go, wow, you're excited about it, and you then become my secondary sales force. You tell other people, and then I get word of mouth, and I get more business.
If you want to specifically get that rolling and get referrals going, how can you best make that part of your sales pitch or your sales
conversation? Well, the thing is you won't get referrals unless you add value, and people are really pleased, and you've done an outstanding job. And the only time to get referrals is really after you've proven yourself and you've got the order. Sometimes people ask for referrals and introductions too early and they haven't earned the right You know what I mean? So we have to make sure we get a buy-in on that. Now, in our program, of course, we had a whole section on how to ask for referrals, and there's a lot of techniques in how you ask. You just don't ask for a referral. You know, would you know of a few people? You know what I mean? Try to get a few, because if you leave it to a closed-ended question, you know, do you have any referrals? No, exactly, it's over. But can you give me a few names? You know, it leaves it wide open. So there are techniques on how you do that.
How do you deal, and this is maybe it's a UAE Dubai specific question, but I have a feeling it's probably more widespread than that, where the client won't tell you what the budget is, they first want you to tell them the price.
Yes.
Because then they can make a judge, but of course, how long's a piece of string, how do they want it to be?
Exactly. I have a technique in there that I call, you're on page 7, I'm on page 2. There's a lot more I need to learn before I can answer that question. Do you mind if I ask you another question?
Please go ahead.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Here's what happens.
Yeah.
They're trying to get you on price. I can tell you right now, Dave, you never, never, never want to be the first person to put price on the table. If you do, you're leaving money. Always work within the client's budget. People don't buy on price. They buy on solutions. If you've got a lot of pain, is it fair to say you'll pay any price to get rid of that pain?
I would say so.
Yeah. And if you're looking for that value, and if I can provide that value, you'll pay the price. People don't buy on price. What happens is salespeople talk price. Now, why do you think salespeople discount? Because they don't believe in their price.
Okay.
You know, they don't believe in the value for the price. That's the part of the problem. So a big part of the system is we build the foundation and making sure people believe in themselves, number one, believe in their products and services, believe in their organization, and of course, believe in the buyer. And that's the foundation to any successful person is their attitude.
So would you say in a situation where the client won't tell you how much it is and you have to put a quote in because you're up against other people, would you walk away and not give the quote, or would you still put your pick?
There's a number of ways. When we identify the process, we identify their problems. Now, so Dave, if I understand it right, you got this issue, and this, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have you set aside a budget for this to solve these problems?
Not really, but I'd create it as and when.
Okay, so you don't have a budget just yet. How do you intend on proceeding?
Well, it'll be a case of a look at what you're offering and other people are offering, and then we'll create the money for what suits the...
Okay, so you're going to apply for a budget?
Yeah.
Okay, and when would you be doing that?
After we've seen what you have.
Okay, so from a time perspective, when would you be making a decision?
Within the next week.
Within the next week?
Yeah.
Okay, have you already spoken to my competitors or any other people they've been talking to?
We have done, yes, and we're waiting for we've got proposals in from those people as well.
Okay, so am I the last person to quote, or?
In this case, yes.
Okay, and you're gonna base it all on a quote?
On a combination.
Okay, a combination of?
How much it is and what value we get and who it's gonna be, what we wanna work with.
Okay, so that's all interesting questions. So what you're trying to do is force a budget onto me. Okay. I have to make sure I really understand what you're looking for before I would make that quote. Would you not agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I would then ask a lot of questions to really understand. Now, let me ask you a question. What if we came in as the most expensive of all?
That might be an issue with the guys in the accounting department.
Okay. And why do you think we would be more expensive than all the others?
I'm not sure.
Okay, that's interesting. What kind of car do you drive?
May I drive a Land Cruiser.
A Land Cruiser, that's a nice car. How does it compare to a Land Rover?
I would say that it's very comparative.
Okay, what would be another one? What's that Mercedes model they have that's four-wheel drive?
Okay, yeah, it's very nice.
It is nice,
yeah,
eh?
Nice.
I mean, what's the difference between the two?
Well, that'd be a high-end product, I guess.
A high-end product, okay, so... From a high end, what makes the product high end versus low end?
It depends on your budget and what is it, the job that it has to do, I guess.
Okay, but why would some people pay more for that Mercedes than the Land Rover?
Because they've got more money in their budget to spend.
Just more money, or could it be they're looking for something different?
Could be, but sometimes they have a budget to spend.
Oh, but it's not always about budget, would you agree?
I would agree that.
Yeah, okay.
But my accounting department might not. I'm putting you on the spot here.
I know you are.
I'm giving you exactly what Dubai gives you in a conversation.
So there, okay. Is there any chance I can get to meet with your accounting department to better understand their accounting needs?
Absolutely.
Because that's what you'd have to do.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to realize, and you see, my next question would be, Dave, is there anyone else besides yourself involved in the decision-making process?
Yeah.
And who is it?
Absolutely.
It would be the accounting department. Is there any way I can meet the accounting department?
Exactly.
And if I can't meet the accounting department, I need to work through you and coach you In other words, do my thing. Now, if it was your decision solely, Dave, would you buy it?
If it was down to me, I'd love to buy it.
Okay. Now that we're at that point, what kind of questions would the accounting department be asking you, and how can I coach you to get through the accounting department?
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you then become my ambassador to the accounting department.
Absolutely.
If I can get
through. If you can get
exactly.
Get about the stage.
So it always depends on the scenario on how you maneuver it around. The thing is this, you want to get as much information out of this client as possible, because the only way I could help you is knowing what you really need, what your budget is, and your timing. And if I can't help you, and if I, you know, it's like you, what you're trying to do is get me into an RFP.
RFP?
RFP is request for proposals.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had to quote on one of these?
A lot.
Okay. What's your success ratio on that?
I would say lower, high. It's very high because
oh,
I qualify them to death.
No, but a lot of times you can't meet the person that's putting
it. I agree. I go for agencies a lot.
And if you don't write the RFP, you don't have a chance in hell.
No.
So a lot of people go in and they put low quotes to get into RFPs and never get it.
Yeah.
But if you're not there with the relationship or writing it or being involved, you're wasting your time.
Absolutely.
So I personally don't believe in RFPs unless you got involved in the early stage in the writing or building of the relationship, because then you can influence it. But otherwise, you're just a shot in the dark.
So I would say, in terms of certainly where I, how I position myself in terms of brand building, for that process to happen, I give as much information to qualify myself as the best person. In my terms, web TV shows, testimonials.
But that comes during the prescription stage.
In the early, exactly. So by the time we get to that, but I won't sit and talk about the specifics until they've already said we want to work with him. Let's find out what he wants
exactly
from that.
But you see, you come second. It's about them first. Completely. We get all their stuff. Once we got that, we know what they need. Then we can introduce ourselves and our solutions. So you're on the right track.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's good to know.
No, you don't need me to tell you that. So there we go. The amazing Bobby Ochoa. That's end of part one. More great stuff coming up and more in-depth questions. I'm going to keep him on the rocks and ask him some tough stuff on your behalf. So I'll see you next time for part two of Bobby Urachuk on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.